Hallelujah. Glory to God. Hebrews chapter 4, and we're talking today about how to receive God's healing power. Now, if you just open your hearts and receive some of these truths, it'll help us. Hebrews chapter 4, verse 14, I'm reading from the King James. It says, "Seeing then that we have a great high priest that has passed into the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our profession. For we have not an high priest which cannot be touched with the feelings of our infirmities." I want you to make note of that. "But was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin." Let us, you see what it says here? He was tempted like we were. He experienced the same things that we have and do. But look what it says in verse 16. "Let us therefore." See, sometimes we just take that out as out of its setting, out of its context, and we just say, "Let us therefore come boldly." But we come boldly, why? Because he was tempted like we are. He felt what we felt, right? So let us therefore come boldly to the throne of grace that we may what? Obtain mercy and find grace to help in the time of need. So we can see here that we're commissioned or we're authorized or in other words, we're commanded to act what? In a prescribed way here. We're to what? Come boldly. We're to come boldly to the throne of grace. Now, boldness here must be present within us any time we approach the Heavenly Father. I know I'm going to say some things that maybe we haven't heard before, or maybe you'll stop and think about it. That's okay. Get the CD, download it, listen to it again. But boldness must be present anytime we approach the Heavenly Father to receive something. That doesn't mean arrogant. That means boldness is just another word of saying coming in faith, coming with confidence that he promised it and that he's willing to give. God is a giver. Listen to these other translations of Hebrews 4:16. The Barclay translation. "We must then fearlessly and confidently come to the throne of grace, and then we will find mercy and grace to help us in every situation when we need them." Listen to the Jordan translation. "Having every assurance," listen to this, this is great. "Having every assurance that we shall both find and be given all the mercy and inner strength we need for any situation." So here's truth number one. Boldness is always a result of knowledge. Boldness is always a result of knowledge. Where there's no knowledge, there can be no boldness. Where there's no knowledge, there can be no boldness. I'm going to say it again. Where there's no knowledge, there can be no boldness. What does that mean? No assurance, no confidence. You're not sure whether or not God's willing to do that for you. You're wishy-washy about it. No boldness. The degree of knowledge that you have determines the degree of boldness that you'll have. We are to come boldly to the throne of grace that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in the time of need. Think about this here. Once again, boldness is always the result of knowledge. Romans 10:17, faith, confidence, assurance comes through what? Hearing, and hearing by the word of God. So your boldness, your assurance, your confidence is going to come from hearing the word of God. That's where it's going to come from. Listen to these scriptures about knowledge. See, so just if I'm trying not plead my case here, but prove it with the Word of God. So if you're saying, well, I'm not sure if boldness comes through knowledge, the Word of God, if that's true, then the Word of God will answer that. Will it not?
Yes.
Listen to this. Proverbs 1, verse 7, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. The fear of the Lord, that's reverential fear or respect. Proverbs 10:14, wise people treasure knowledge, but the babbling of a fool invites disaster. That's the New Living Translation. Hosea 4:6, very familiar scripture. My people are what? Destroyed for what? A lack of knowledge. No confidence, no boldness. My people are destroyed for a lack of knowledge. Listen to this. Romans 10, verse 2. This is in the New Testament. For I bear them record that they have a zeal of God, but not according to knowledge. See, boldness comes about through the knowledge of God. I'll tell you one thing. You're bold when you know the conditions of your insurance policy. You're pretty bold about it, but you're wishy-washy when you don't know. I'm just using a natural example. Listen to this scripture, Philippians 1:9. And this I pray, that your love may abound yet more and more in knowledge. So the love of God abounds because of your knowledge. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. Hebrews, let's turn over to Hebrews 13 and verse 5. Hebrews 13 and verse 5. We're getting somewhere today. I'm just setting a little groundwork here. Condition is we want to be able to come. This is giving us some insight into how to receive God's healing power. This is the purpose of this. You need to come boldly to the throne of grace. And boldness is based on knowledge. Hebrews 13 and verse 5, let your conversation be without covetousness and be content with such things as you have. For he hath said, who's he? God. He hath said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee, so that, oh, that's an important thing right there, so that what? We may boldly say, the Lord is my helper, and I will not fear what man shall do unto me. Why can we boldly say? We can boldly say because the Lord said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. So we're getting some knowledge here about God. And when we understand him, then we can boldly say, he'll never leave me nor forsake me. I can boldly say that. Hallelujah. So verse 5, which we see here, God said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee, gives us some insight or information about the Lord. He said, I'll never leave you nor forsake you. He's given us what? Some knowledge about himself. That gives us boldness, which is what verse 6 says. Verse 6 says, we may boldly say that he is my helper, and I will not fear what man shall do unto me. So our ability to boldly say the Lord is my helper is based on what? The knowledge that he will never leave me nor forsake me. That's what it's based upon. Here's some other thoughts. Individuals that are weak in this area of boldly saying that he will never leave us nor forsake us fall short when it comes to boldly saying, the Lord is my helper. If you're weak in one place, you're going to be weak somewhere else. If you're weak in boldly saying that he will never leave me nor forsake me, then you're going to be weak in boldly saying that he's my helper. So the issue of boldness is always the result of knowledge. Here's a thought here. Let's turn over to Hebrews 11:6. All throughout the Word of God, God has revealed himself. You know, think about this. God never set out, the Bible never sets out to prove that God is. It never sets out to prove that he is God. He reveals himself. The Bible revealed him. Think about that. He revealed himself all through the Old Testament. Revealed himself to who? Abraham, to Moses. In the New Testament, to Saul or Paul. And then he revealed himself through Christ. So he reveals himself through what was written in the scriptures so that we can know who he is. So we have a knowledge of God, right? And what he's like. So Hebrews 11:6, and God has created, think about this, when we think about the New Testament, it says we're to do what? Walk by faith and not by sight. But Hebrews 11:6, it says, and I'm reading from the King James, it says, but without faith, it is impossible to please him. Look at this now. For he that what? Cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he must believe that what? He is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. So these two beliefs must be present in the individual who approaches God. In order to what? Come boldly to the throne of grace. So these two beliefs must be present. I must believe that he is, and I must believe that he's a rewarder. That word rewarder, if you look it up, it just means that he's a giver. He uses another word, remunerator. We don't necessarily use that, but he's a giver. He's a rewarder. That's his nature. His nature is to give. So when he says, I will never leave you nor forsake you, so that I can boldly say. Right? So here, these two beliefs must be present in the individual who approaches God. And so this is something that we're going to take a moment here, and we're going to go through the scriptures, and we're going to look at some examples in the Bible. But anytime you see anyone in scripture approaching God, these two things were always evident. They always believed that he is, and they always believed that he would do what he said he would do. He would give. He was willing to give. Right? So let's you can go ahead here and turn over to this story about the centurion in Luke 7. But the scripture, as I said, the Bible never sets out to prove that God is. So then the question becomes, when the scripture says that without faith it's impossible to believe to please him, that he that cometh unto God must believe that he is, then what does that really mean? Does it mean that he is? Or does it mean that he is what he says he is? If he is the healer, then he's that. If he's the deliverer, then he is that. If he's the one that prospers me, he is that. He wasn't that. You know, a lot of people believe he was that. No, he is that. And when we come to him, we have to believe he is that. Not he was that. He is the healer. Not just that he is, but what is he? He's the healer. So when anybody came, you think about it, the centurion, the woman with the issue of blood, the man that was let down through the roof who had the palsy, they came believing that he is the healer. Why would you go after someone that you didn't believe he is? You waste your time. He can't do what he said he could do. He is. Right? So we can see those things clearly. So the will of God reveals to us, when we look at the Word of God, we see the will of God, and it reveals what God is to us in these areas. What he is. Right? If he said, I am, I will never leave you nor forsake you, that's what he is. Yeah. So that I can boldly say, yeah. He will, you know, that he'll help me. See? That's what he is, right? Listen to the two translations before we jump to Luke 7. The Message translation in Hebrews 11:6, it says, it is impossible to please God apart from faith. And why? Because anyone who wants to approach God must believe both that he exists and that he cares enough to respond to those who seek him. He cares enough. I like this. This is the Goodspeed translation. It says, whoever would approach God must have faith in this existence and in his willingness to reward those who try to find him. So when we come to God, we come to him in boldness. We must believe two things that about our Heavenly Father. We must believe that he is. What does that mean? In the situation, we must believe. In this situation, we must believe he is our healer. He is healing for me. He is prosperity for me. He is peace of mind for me. And we must believe that he will give us healing upon approach. When we approach him, when we come to him, he will heal me. Yes. Heal my body, provide what I need. So now let's go to Luke chapter 7, as I said. Let's go over there. Luke chapter 7. And the first 10 verses give us some insight into the centurion, these two qualities. And it says, now when he had ended all his sayings in the audience of the people, he entered into Capernaum. And a certain centurion's servant, who was dear unto him, was sick and ready to die. And when he heard of Jesus, he sent unto him the elders of the Jews, beseeching him that he would come and heal his servant. And when they came to Jesus, they besought him instantly, saying that he was worthy for whom he should do this. For he loveth our nation, and he hath built us a synagogue. Verse 6, then Jesus went with them, and when he was now not far from the house, the centurion sent friends to him, saying unto him, Lord, trouble not thyself, for I am not worthy that thou should enter unto thy roof. Wherefore, neither thought I myself worthy to come unto thee, but say the word. This is boldness here. But say the word, and my servant shall be healed. For I am a man set under authority, having under me soldiers, and I say unto one, go, and he goeth, and to another, come, and he cometh, and to my servant, do this, and he doeth it. When Jesus heard these things, he marveled at him and turned him about, and he said unto the people that followed him, I say unto you, I have not found so great faith, no, not in Israel. And of course, it says, and they that were sent returning to the house found the servant whole that had been sick. So he approached Jesus and said, I'm not worthy to come to your house, for me to come into your house. Just speak the word. He was coming believing that he was, not was, he is the healer. And that he believed that he was willing to do that. You can see those two principles, can't you? Hallelujah. Let's look at Mark chapter 5. Mark chapter 5, the woman with the issue of blood. And verse 27. Says, when she had heard of Jesus, came in the press behind and touched his garment. For she said, if I may touch but his clothes, I shall be whole. And straightway the fountain of her blood was dried up, and she felt in her body that she was healed of that plague. And Jesus, immediately knowing in himself that virtue had gone out of him, turned him about in the press and said, who touched my clothes? And his disciples said unto him, thou seest the multitude thronging thee, and sayest thou, who touched me? And he looked round about to see her that had done this thing. But the woman, fearing and trembling, knowing what was done in her, came and fell down before him and told him all the truth. And he said unto her, daughter, thy faith hath made thee whole. Go in peace and be whole of thy plague. You can see the same thing. She came believing that he is the healer. Why? She had heard of Jesus. And that what she heard must have caused faith to rise in her and to have boldness. You just think about it. You know, a lot of times we don't read enough on this culture, but the culture that she lived in, she should have not only not gone out, because she was unclean, she had an issue of blood, she should have, if she did go out, cry unclean, unclean. They had the right to kill her and stone her. How many of us would go out pursuing something knowing you'd be killed? Some of you would be like, well, let me think about that. I'm not sure about that. Let me think about that. But she had what? Boldness to go out in that society and to press through and believe that that he is the healer, and that what? She said, if I touch but his garment, I shall be made whole. And we read the story that when she did, virtue came out of Jesus. So there was a transmission of his healing power. He felt the healing virtue go out of him, and she received it. Hallelujah. So you can see her boldness was the result of the knowledge she had, what, about Jesus? Something she heard. Faith came. And then, because of that, boldness came. Let's look at Luke 5. Luke chapter 5. This is a familiar story here. Luke chapter 5, verse 17. It says, and it came to pass on a certain day as he was teaching that there were Pharisees and doctors of the law sitting by, which were come out of every town of Galilee and Judea and Jerusalem. And the power of the Lord was present to heal them. So the power of the Lord was present to heal. And behold, verse 18, and behold, men brought in a bed, a man which was taken with a palsy, and they sought means to bring him in and to lay him before him. So number one, they must have believed that he is the healer. They were trying to get there. And now you can see the boldness when they couldn't get there. What did they do? You go on and read the story here, and it said they broke up the roof and let him in. And I believe in this account, let's see. He normally said when Jesus saw their faith. That's probably in the other verse 20, yeah. And when he saw their faith, he said unto him, man, thy sins are forgiven thee. So he saw something. He saw their faith. And the scribes and the Pharisees began to reason, saying, who is this which speaketh blasphemies? Who can forgive sins but God alone? And Jesus went on, and he knew they were reasoning in their hearts. And verse 24, he said to the sick of the palsy, I say unto thee, arise, take up thy couch, and go into thine house. And immediately he did. So you can see here, these qualities are in these individuals. They believed with boldness that he is the healer. And what? They believed that he would provide, he would do it. He was willing to provide that, right? Here's something else, familiar scripture, Romans 10, 9 and 10, prayer of salvation. If thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and shall believe in thy heart that God raised him from the dead, what? Thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. So when we approach the Lord for salvation, we have to believe that he is the Savior. And we have to believe that he will provide salvation upon approach. We all did that. Same principle. Here's another thought to consider. Forgiveness of sin. 1 John 1, 9. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and to what? Cleanse us of all unrighteousness. So when we mess up, we go to the Heavenly Father. Do we go wondering? Do we go, I'm not sure, I don't know if he'll forgive me? No. We go boldly knowing through knowledge of the Word of God, which causes faith in us to say, God, I messed up. You are the forgiver. And I confess my sins and I believe that you're willing to forgive me. Right? We have to possess these characteristics. We are to come boldly to the throne of grace to find mercy and help in the time of need. So there's people that come. I mean, even where you think about this, people ask God for forgiveness, and then they're not sure if he's willing to forgive them because of what they did. And they'll carry that the rest of their life, guilt and condemnation. And yet, when they asked God to forgive them, he did. See. Turn over to Mark 11, 24. Here's another truth that we need to ponder. As bold as we are approaching God to receive, we must be as bold when we leave. Amen. as bold as we are when we approach God, we have to be as bold when we leave. Amen. I'm going to say it again. As confident as we are and assured when we approach God, we have to be as confident and assured when we leave God that we've received. Yes. I'll say it another way so that you can grasp it. And the reason I say that is because sometimes people will come assured that he is, or confident or bold, that he is the forgiver, he is the healer, but when they leave, I'm not sure. I don't know, I didn't get anything. Well, then you didn't. You're not as confident when you left that you got what you came for. So we must be as bold coming to God based on who he is, but we have to be just as bold and confident that when we leave, we've got it. We got what he said he promised. Because he's a giver. And that's based on the knowledge of the word of God. Right? Mark 11, 24. Just want to support this. We need to be as confident approaching God as we are leaving with the results. Mark 11, 24. Therefore, I say unto you, what things soever you desire, when you pray, I'm approaching God, believe that you what? Receive them, and you shall have them. I've got to be just as confident that when I approach him, I'm going to get it, and I believe that I received it when I prayed. Amen. I've got to be just as confident when I leave from that place of prayer. You see that? Those qualities must be evident because it can meet the difference between appropriating the power of God or not. These will help us. Mark, Hebrews, let's look at Hebrews 11, verse 6 again. But without faith, it is impossible to please him, for he, let's look at it again, he that what? Cometh to God must believe. He that cometh to God must believe, and that he must believe that he is what? A rewarder. He's a giver. And because of that, I can boldly say, he is this to me. He's my provider. I can boldly say that. So when we leave God after you've prayed, you must leave him believing something. You must believe that you've received. You have to be confident. You have to be bold that you've received. I believe I've received. Based on God and his word saying that if you confess your sin, I am faithful to forgive you and cleanse you of all unrighteousness. If he said that, then I believe it. Hallelujah. Let's go over to James chapter 1. I hope this is helping you a little bit. Because this will work, this principle needs to be in place whether it's for healing or for prosperity or for peace or whatever it is that God has promised us. James chapter 1. James chapter 1 and verse 5. James chapter 1 and verse 5, starting in verse 5, it says here, if any of you lack wisdom, what are we supposed to do? Let him ask of God. Now, This is interesting here because this was kind of inserted here. But when you look at this, it says, if any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God. Then he begins to tell you about God's nature. This is some knowledge here about God. He's saying, let him ask of God who does what? Gives to all men liberally and upbraideth not, and it shall be given him. See, you could almost just, I don't say rework this, but it's you could say, if any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God, and it shall be given him. If I go in faith. But this is saying here that God gives to all men liberally, and he upbraideth not. But look at verse 6. Let him how? Let him ask in faith, nothing wavering. Let him ask with boldness. Let him ask with confidence and assurance. Nothing wavering. For he that wavereth is like a wave of the sea driven with the wind and tossed. For let not that man think that he shall receive anything of the Lord. A double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. Hallelujah. So here, if you lack wisdom, he gives to all men what? Liberally. You know that word liberally, what it means is with an open hand. He just gives. If you give liberally, you give with an open hand. You don't even have a second thought. If you're out giving liberally to people, you don't even have a second thought. You just, with an open hand, you give. That's God's nature. He giveth what? Liberally. He has an open hand. He doesn't have he's a giver. That's his nature. So, many believe that God has the wisdom that they need. They're just not sure he'll provide it for them. They're not as confident with that. So, this here, this word wavereth, it's an interesting thing. Sometimes when we read it in the King James, the writers, you got to remember, this was written how many hundreds of years ago, this translation. We don't talk like that anymore. I mean, we use the word wavereth, but it does not mean vacillating between two opinions. It does not mean that. And it'd be good sometimes to take time and look up what words mean or look at other translations, because in this case here, it does not mean vacillating between two opinions like we do. Well, maybe I should, maybe I shouldn't. Maybe I should, maybe I shouldn't. You know, like the cat, Morris the cat. Maybe I should, maybe I'll go forward, maybe I'll go back. Maybe I'll sit down, maybe I won't. No, that's not what this means. You want to know what it means? Anybody want to know what it means? Man, I was wondering if everybody's awake or not. I don't know. It means to contend with. It means to contend with. It means to differ. It means to be at variance with oneself. It means to hesitate. It means to doubt. It means to separate oneself in a hostile spirit. It means to oppose. This is not vacillating between two opinions. This is a person that says, I don't believe he is. That's a big difference. Because any man that wavereth, they're not going to get anything from the Lord. Because they're not coming in faith and in confidence, and they're not coming boldly, they're coming differing and opposing what the Word of God says. They're not believing that He is, and they're not believing that He's willing to do it. They're wavering. Everybody see this? Because the scripture is very clear here. Hallelujah. It means to oppose or to strive with dispute. Oh, boy. Now, if you come in with that kind of an attitude before God, who's going to get anything from him? You're not. You won't. So we need to come, how? Boldly, but our boldness is based on our knowledge of God. He's a good God. God is good. He's a giver. He loves us. What does it say? God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. He's a giver. And those that come to him, what does the scripture say in James? You have not because you ask not. He that seeketh shall find. So God gives liberally to all men with an open hand. But he that, what, wavereth, he that differs or opposes or resists, they're not getting anything. He said, let not that man think they'll receive anything from the Lord. So we need to come, and this in regard to healing, I need to believe God is good. He's so good. He wants me to be healed. He wants me to be in strength. He paid for this with his own blood. So when I come to him, I believe that I receive, oh God, I believe I receive your healing power. And then there's other things that we're responsible to do after that. But listen to the New Living Translation of James chapter 1. It says, if you need wisdom, ask our generous God and he will give it to you. He will not rebuke you for asking. Oh, boy. My God. God's good. He won't rebuke you for asking. But when you ask him, be sure that your faith is in God alone. Do not waver for a person with divided loyalty, as is as unsettled as a wave of the sea that is blown and tossed by the wind. Such people should not expect to receive anything from the Lord. Their loyalty is divided between God and the world, and they are unstable in everything they do. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Luke 11, verse 10, for everyone that asketh, receiveth, and he that seeketh, findeth. To him that knocketh, it shall be opened. God is a giver. Hallelujah. He's a good God. And we need to come boldly to him based upon the knowledge that he is good, that he gives liberally. When we ask for wisdom, he gives liberally. When I don't know what to do, when you go to a doctor and God, give me wisdom. I'm not sure what choice to make. He gives liberally to those that ask. And don't be divided in your opinion. I'm not sure. Don't let doctors, don't let lawyers, don't let people push you. Let God give you the wisdom and the peace to know what to do. He gives liberally to all those that seek it. He will not rebuke you for asking. Hallelujah. Glory to God. This is how we cooperate with God. We've got to come to him in boldness and confidence and assurance that he is good and he is my healer. He's my provider. He will never leave me nor forsake me, so that I can boldly say, the Lord is my helper. I shall not want. What shall man do to me? Hallelujah. God is a good God. Glory to God. Let's just look at one last scripture here in Hebrews We're in James. Turn back to Hebrews chapter 10. Hebrews chapter 10, starting in verse 14, I backed up. I really want to read verse 23, but to look at the context of this, we need to start in verse 14 and just follow along with me here. In the King James, it says, "For by one offering he hath perfected forever them that are sanctified, whereof the Holy Ghost also is a witness to us. For after that he had said before, this is the covenant that I will make with them after those days, saith the Lord. I will put my laws into their hearts, and in their minds will I write them. And their sins and iniquities will I remember no more." See, he's telling us about himself here. He's giving us some insight and knowledge about God, right? He's going to forgive my iniquities. I won't even remember them, right? "Now where remission of these is, there's no more offering for sin. Having therefore, brethren, what? Boldness. Boldness. Why? Because I'm forgiven. I can boldly enter into his presence." It says, "Boldly enter into the holiest by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way, which he hath consecrated for us through the veil, that is to say, his flesh, and having an high priest over the house of God." Talking about Jesus here. "Let us draw near," what? "With a true heart," in what? "Full assurance of faith." Boldness. "Having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water," what? "Let us," because of that, "let us hold fast the profession of our faith" with what? "Without wavering. For he is faithful that promised." And I can boldly say, the Lord is my helper. He is my helper. He's my healer. He's my provider. He is that to me. Hallelujah. Glory to God. God is good. And don't you ever think for one second he's forgot about you. He's forgot about your situation and issue. If you need wisdom, let him ask of God. He will give you what? Liberally. To know what to do, how to navigate life. Hallelujah. He's a good God. He desires, he gives liberally with an open hand. And this is the good news of the gospel. And it's this good news that when it's scripture says that because of that, he confirms his good news with signs following. So we need to come, as we shared, we need to come boldly, not only boldly coming, but we need to believe that we've received and bold about what we have received when we leave that place of prayer and asking. I have to believe that I received. And it's what? Brother Hagin used the term here when he taught here. I think it was a Holy Ghost meeting in 92, because Doug Jones talks about it. He said, Brother Hagin laid his hands on a blind lady, and she had been blind for a few years. And she cried out, "I can see, I can see, I can see." This happened here. And then he said he laid hands upon this little baby that had crippled feet. And he said, "If there's any comfort to you," he said, "I have a stronger anointing right now than I did when I just laid hands on this woman that was blind." And he said, "But keep the switch of faith turned on." What does that mean? He said, you've got to believe that you received the power of God, that it went into you, and that it's working to undo that which Satan has wrought in your body. See, you've got to be bold about that. You've got to be assured of that. Whether one day goes by, 2 days go by, a year goes by, you've got to be assured that the healing power of God is working in me. And that I went to God and I believed that I received it, and it's now working in me to undo this sickness and disease. Amen. Hallelujah. This will help us. You need to be assured that God provided what he said he would. He's a covenant keeping God. He breaketh, he not breaking a covenant. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Take these truths, and as I meant to say at the beginning of this message, you know, it's good to hear messages and to feed upon them over and over. But sometimes, as led, I'm not, you know, we don't say how you're led. You let God lead you. But every day, I read something, you know, every day I get a little podcast here or a little email every day. The Hagen Ministry sends it out free of charge. You can go to their website and sign up for it. It'll come right to your phone or whatever you have. Email, come, and you read a daily entry of health food. I do it every day. Every day I read that and feed upon it. Faith comes by hearing and hearing and hearing and hearing and hearing and hearing the word of God. And so he shared an entry, I forget it was a few days ago, where this woman was dying of cancer. She was, the doctor said, ain't nothing we can do. Just let her live the rest of her days out, and that was it. And this man was bringing her a different tape or CD every day. And he said he just kept getting this impression. See, he didn't say it was the Holy Ghost. He just kept saying, I just had this impression that instead of me giving her something different every day, that I give her something to listen to, this one thing all the time, every day. Don't change it. Don't switch it up. So he brought her God's medicine by Brother Hagen, and he's just reading scripture. That's all he's doing. He's not teaching a lesson or preaching. He's just reading scripture that are healing scriptures. And this woman accounts this. She began to listen to it over and over and over and over and over and over and over every day. And little by little, she walked out of that sickness and disease, and she was completely healed. Faith comes by hearing and hearing and hearing and hearing. And when you're tired of hearing it, hear it some more. Because for you, he that wavereth, he that opposes, he that differs, he that questions, don't think you'll receive anything from the Lord. You've got to keep hearing till faith comes, till boldness comes, till confidence comes, and it will drive out the sickness and disease. I've lived this. I remember, this is 30-some years ago, it was the first time that I had to make a choice. Does his word work or not? It was 35, 36 years ago or more. And I was all full of congestion. I was running a high, extremely high temperature. I was delirious. And I decided, I'm going to listen to the word of God. And I had a cassette. And it was Brother Hagen. I kept turning it over. You know, you hear click, flip it over. Click, flip it over. I did this. I would listen to it. If I fell asleep, I'd wake up, flip the tape. I kept listening and listening and listening. And after 2 to 3 days, I kept listening. And finally, what happened was, you know, just naturally, symptoms begin to abate or diminish a little. But I decided, call a doctor and make an appointment. I decided to do this. Nothing wrong with that. But I kept listening to this tape and listening and listening and listening. And God is my witness, as I was laying in my bed, it was like a volcano erupted. It just rose up out of me like a mighty force, and I spoke in tongues. I jumped up out of the bed. It just rose up, and I spoke in tongues, and I knew it. I had it. I said, I've got it. I've got it. Faith came. Faith came. Faith came. How? By listening to the word, listening to it constantly, day in, day out, hour after hour. Faith came. So what did I do? I got dressed. I dragged myself into the shower, got dressed, came into work here. Was I any better? Not much. I could only sit in my chair for about 15 minutes. I was so weak. But as time, hour went by, my strength came back. See, faith acts. When faith comes, you've got to be bold approaching and receiving as you are when you leave. You've got to know, I've got this. Faith acts. Faith believes, it receives, and does what? It acts upon it. Hallelujah. Glory to God. So faith must be bold. Faith is based on what? The knowledge of God, the will of God. And boldness comes. And when we approach God, we come boldly to the throne of grace to find help, mercy, and help in the time of need. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Meditate upon these truths. Feed upon the word of God. If you're not convinced of something in your life, you know, I always hear people say, are the symptoms talking louder than God's word? Are your issues talking louder than God's word? Then maybe you need to spend more time in the word and keep feeding on it until his word is louder than those symptoms. Louder and bigger and greater. Greater is who? He that is in me than he that is in the world. Greater is he, the healer, than this sickness in my body. Greater is he, the one who's the rewarder, than the issue I'm facing in life. He's greater. He's a giver. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Father, we thank you that you are great. You are good. You are all that you said you are. And we believe that. We receive it. And we thank you that you're working in our lives, in our midst. And we approach you with not only reverence and respect, but we trust and believe who you say you are. And we accept it and receive that you are a giver. In the name of Jesus, and we thank you that our bodies are healed. We thank you that our bodies are strong. We thank you that we are strengthened with might by your spirit in our inner man. And we thank you for it in the name of Jesus. Amen.